Good morning. You are listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. I'm Janine, and this is Get the Funk Out. If you are not familiar with my show, I've been doing this for quite some time, you can head over to the show blog, getthefunkoutshow.kuci.org. Really excited about my first guest, Lexi Larrison, Director of Business Development and New Directions for Women. And Lexi has spent years helping women reclaim their lives, providing programs that are not just about sobriety, but about rebuilding identity, belonging, and resilience. And we're going to have a great conversation exploring the realities that women face in recovery and the role of trauma-informed care and really how communities can better support healing. And I'm so excited to have Lexi joining us right now. Good morning, Lexi.
Good morning.
I might have mispronounced your last name. Could you pronounce it for me? Larrison?
Yes, it's Larrison.
Larrison. Okay, perfect.
Yes.
Thank you so
Lexi
much.
Lexi Larrison.
Lexi Larrison. So it was wonderful meeting you in person at the Athleta store. And there was a fantastic yoga class taught by Andrea from Eckham. I want to focus on the work you're doing and, you know, that collaboration and what led you to this work you're doing.
Yeah. I get the privilege and the honor of working at an organization called New Directions for Women. And we are a nonprofit organization that has been around since 1977. And we are here to really help and support all women who struggle with substance abuse issues.
Wonderful.
And specifically, you know, we help single adult women, but we also help pregnant women and women with children.
Okay.
And my own kind of personal journey, I've been working in this field for nearly a decade, and I'm also a woman and a mother in long-term recovery, coming up on 10 years clean and sober.
Fantastic.
And you know, part of my own personal journey is, you know, I am a mom of three, and my kids were 4, 6, and 10 when I got clean. And unfortunately, due to my addiction, I had lost custody of them, which was really a catalyst in what brought me into recovery.
Wow.
I'm also a product of gender-specific treatment, what we call gender-specific treatment, meaning I went to an all-women's program mm-hmm. in South Orange County and really was loved on by women at the facility and other women in the 12-step community that truly saved my life and gave my kids their mother back and changed my life in ways that, you know, I can't even put into words. And so really from the start of my recovery, I knew, you know, that I wanted to work in this field and specifically wanted to work alongside other women because I knew the power of that, the power of, you know, women supporting each other and holding space for each other and really meeting each other at our darkest moments.
Sure.
And, you know, the byproduct of that. And so I have been with New Directions. You know, I had heard about New Directions for years and years, mm-hmm. Just being a woman in recovery in Orange County. There's just not many places that women can go that are specifically designed for women.
Okay.
And so about 3.5 years ago, I got the opportunity in my career to come onto New Directions. And, you know, it wasn't even a thought in my mind. I jumped at that. And so,
amazing.
So that's kind of how I, you know, got started in the industry and specifically at New Directions.
Well, and the fact that you have, you know, lived experience, I'm sure mm-hmm. these women feel connected with you.
Yes, very much so. And a lot of the mothers who come into our program, so we have what's called a full continuum of care. So we have a medical detox, we have a residential, and then we have outpatient services with sober living. And many of the women, not all, but many have open CPS cases. And so they're either in the midst of, you know, family reunification after losing custody, or they're about to. And so, you know, we work very closely. And so it's been such a healing journey to truly get to walk alongside women that I have walked the same path they're on. I'm just maybe a few steps ahead. And get to, you know, hold hands with these women the same way that other women did it for me.
Wow,
it is truly one of the most beautiful and humbling and healing experiences, you know, I've ever gotten to do.
Amazing. So you're really changing lives. That's an understatement.
That's the hope, you know. Yeah. Our mission is to transform the lives of all women who, you know, are struggling with addiction. And so, you know, transformation is truly what our mission is.
Mm-hmm. Are there some misconceptions about women and addiction?
Oh, yes. Yes. And I would say even more so for moms in addiction, you know, I think just kind of a broad sense, I think, you know, the public can oftentimes view those struggling with addiction as like a moral failing, when the reality is it's a brain disease, right? And that's not to take away from the severity of the consequences. I mean, I think most people who have either struggled with addiction themselves or had a loved one who's struggled with addiction, they know it's gut-wrenching and heartbreaking, and the person in their addiction can make very, you know, hard and hurtful decisions that have true impacts. And that's not to take away from the accountability, right? Mm-hmm. In 12-step, we talk about accountability a lot. And so that being said, I don't think it's a moral failing as much as it is the, you know, the person who is struggling with addiction needs recovery, you know?
Yes.
And so with moms and kids too, there's this, and this is really not talked about, but I've lived it. There's this weird dichotomy that moms live in when they're in their addiction, where on one side, they love their kids. You know, I loved my kids. I would have easily died for my children. And in that same aspect, on the opposite side of that, no matter how hard I tried, I could not get clean for them.
Wow.
I tried again and again and again. I could not get clean. And so living in that dichotomy was just birthed so much shame and guilt and really kept me kind of propelled in my addiction. And it wasn't truly until I kind of accepted that and really found like an internal motivation for wanting to get clean for myself that I could actually find recovery.
Sure.
So I think, you know, as moms, you know, when we're struggling with addiction and, you know, we're trying to get clean and we're failing again and again, you know, it just continues to breed shame. And then that shame just, you know, what do we do when we feel shame? We want to numb it. We want to escape it.
Right.
And so I think even like putting a voice to it and talking about it can be so powerful because, you know, with shame, you know, the opposite of shame is vulnerability, you know, is finding connection.
Yes.
So even, you know, meeting with other moms and being like, oh, I've been there. I know what that feels like. Like that in and of itself can be so healing.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's what we try to do at New Directions.
Thank you for that, by the way. I want to talk about addiction because some people, they might feel like, well, why can't you get sober? Can it be genetic if you are predisposed to someone who struggled?
You know, that is the big question, right?
Yeah.
Like, is it nature? Is it nurture?
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I don't think there, you know, I know there's been studies, you know, done on this. The truth of the matter is I think it's probably a little bit of both.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the kind of the question that I ask, you know, women who are asking that question is, you know, the why isn't as important as the how. You know, even if we knew definitively, like, hey, it's genetics, that's not going to change the impact.
Exactly.
And so what are we going to do about it?
Yes.
And so, you know, I'll take, you know, my own history. You know, I have a sister who is 2 years younger than I. You know, we came from the same mom, same dad, you know, same childhood experiences, grew up in the same home. You know, I am an addict and she is not. We have a long line of, you know, addicts and alcoholics on our dad's side. So, you know, the plea for, you know, is it the genetic thing is high in that, you know, aspect, but the fact that my sister is not is, you know, is it more of a, you know, nurture type thing? So, regardless, I am an addict. So, you know, for me, that means I need to, you know, every day be working towards my recovery.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that comes in the work that I do.
Yeah. It's got to be very rewarding to see yourself in the people, the women you meet.
It is. It really is. And if I'm being honest, you know, the women that come through our program, you know, they help me in my recovery just as much, if not more, you know, than I'm helping them in theirs. You know, it is definitely a two-way street, and, you know, they teach me things every single day that, you know, I take and, you know, use in my recovery, in the way that I parent my children, in the way that I show up in my interpersonal lives. And so I feel an immense sense of gratitude and privilege to get to do this work, you know?
It's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. Yeah. How long is the program? It depends on the person, the situation?
Yeah. Yeah. So on average, I would say our program is about a 90-day program. So 30 days of, you know, detox residential, or what people would call inpatient, 30 days of what we call partial hospitalization, or PHP. PHP is essentially like an outpatient where they can live either in sober living, or they can live at home and then come into the center for a group 5 hours a day, Monday through Friday.
Okay.
And then our another 30 days in intensive outpatient. And that's just where they come in for 3 hours a day, Monday through Friday. So on average, about 90 days total. Of course, sometimes longer, sometimes shorter, really just dependent on medical necessity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what and how much they're using, those types of things.
You know, one thing I didn't ask you maybe to elaborate a little bit on is what does trauma-informed gender-specific care look like in practice?
Yeah, that's a great question. So gender-specific is truly just, you know, treatment around that specific gender. So there's men's gender-specific treatment, and then there's women's gender-specific treatment. So for us, being a women's gender-specific treatment center, it really looks like all aspects of our program from start to finish really being designed around treating women. And in that comes kind of the trauma-informed, or really what we call trauma-responsive care. And we call it trauma-responsive because, you know, the truth of the matter is the majority of the women who come through our program have experienced trauma in some form in their life, as opposed to us just being informed of how to react and support their recovery through that. We really want to respond in a way that feels safe and nurturing to them. And so some of the trauma responsive modalities we use in our treatment, you know, therapeutic modalities, are narrative therapy and then dialectic behavioral therapy, DBT.
Okay.
And really our in the narrative practice, you know, our hope is, as women come through, we believe that for any person, you know, they live their life and they're, through their experiences, through their traumas, through their wins, they're telling themselves a story, right? We live life through a narrative. And oftentimes you see with people with addiction or people with trauma, that narrative almost gets problem saturated, right? Where all they can see are the hard or the traumatic things that have happened in their life. And our goal is to really help them examine their life as a whole and see the moments of resilience, the moments of strength that have always existed, and to really get them to like lean into those strengths and resilience so that they can kind of live a life based on that, as opposed to living their life only based on kind of their trauma responses and the hardships.
Mm-hmm. Do you see a lot more women needing assistance post-pandemic?
Oh, yes. And so I've been, like I said, I've been in the treatment industry for almost a decade. And so I was working in this field through the entire pandemic. And although the world was shut down, the treatment industry was not. What I saw was a lot more women really in, you know, their midlife. So I'm talking, you know, late 30s, early 40s. With kids who had never struggled with alcohol or substance use before,
really?
All of a sudden start to drink heavily, start to use substances because, you know, in a matter of overnight, you know, women who, you know, were living their life were now on top of that having to be stay-at-home school moms, you know, having to deal with, you know, their kids at home 24/7 while still managing houses and careers and all of that. The other interesting thing that I saw, but it makes total sense, is I saw a lot of increase in first responders and spouses of first responders coming in for treatment. Really just based on what they were seeing, you know, in the hospitals and things like that.
Sure.
And we're still seeing the impacts of that. The biggest piece, though, that I think the pandemic is the forced isolation. Mm-hmm. That piece, you know, in recovery in 12-step communities, we highlight, you know, needing a community. Like, isolation is the enemy.
Yes.
You know, we can't do anything alone, but we can, you know, find our chosen family, we can find our community, and we can do this together.
Yeah.
Well, when the pandemic hit, you know, meetings that were in person all of a sudden went virtual. And so people were kind of forced into this isolation, which is a really bad thing when you struggle with addiction. And so, you know, those are really kind of the top things that I saw that we're still seeing the impacts of. Absolutely.
We sure are. And there's a tremendous amount of research about the loneliness epidemic, social isolation. And if you were already introverted, as you know, being in isolation just exacerbated that. Maybe you just said, "Ooh, I like this. I'm not going back in the real world." And it's so challenging for so many people. And so it's, you're probably seeing how, when you explain to people, you are not alone. You're it's not just you. There's probably like this sigh of, "Oh, really?"
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I mean, that connection, you know, a client was actually just asking me, you know, as she's getting ready to discharge, kind of what the magic bullet is that clients can lean on when they discharge to have them be successful in their recovery. And, you know, the one thing, the most important piece, I would argue the most important piece, you know, when a client is discharging and going back home or, you know, wherever they're going to be doing their next step, is find a community. Those women that find a community and plant roots in that community are the ones that are able to achieve long-term recovery. Mm-hmm. The ones that don't do that, the ones that, you know, get out and think, I got this, I can do this, I don't need to go to meetings, you know, I don't need to, you know, participate in any way in, you know, even community events and things, those are the ones, unfortunately, that we see, you know, have a return to use. And so, to your point, you know, forced isolation is so damaging and so harmful, and not just for people who struggle with addiction. You know, we're seeing it in, you know, our youth now. We're seeing it all over, you know.
Yeah. No, it's very important for schools, businesses, nonprofits to really think about how they can connect people on a human level, and whether it's third spaces, but getting people off of their phones and connecting and relearning those social skills and interpersonal communication skills.
Yep, absolutely.
You know, so if someone is listening and struggling, and or they have a loved one or anyone really, what would be a first step that you would encourage them to take?
Yeah, so, you know, the first step is, you know, if they have, if they're even thinking or wondering, you know, am I struggling with a substance abuse or alcohol problem, please have them call us. You know, they can either reach out to, you know, we have a 24/7 admissions line that they can call and speak with one of our admissions gals. Mm-hmm. They can go to our website, which is ndfw.org. We have form fills. You know, and outside of that, you know, who do you have in your life that you trust, that you feel like has your back? You know, reach out. The first step in anything is just, you know, asking for help. If you're not ready to really make that step to reach out to an organization like New Directions or another one, you know, reach out to someone in your life and just share what is going on. That step can be such a, like, pivotal piece in the change.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, that's what I would say.
That's amazing. How can families, educators, and even communities create safer, more supportive spaces for women in recovery?
Yeah, that's such a good question. You know, I think for, you know, providers and educators, just, you know, continue to educate yourself. Continue to, you know, talk to women who are in recovery to, you know, ask them what their experience is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think the biggest piece is just that shared healing. And that, I think, comes through sharing stories, you know, sharing experiences, being genuinely curious about, you know, what has your experience been like? I know, you know, in my own life, when, you know, people have held space to hear my story, It has been such a transformative experience, not just for me, but the person that I'm sharing with.
Sure.
And so, yeah, you know, I think the more we can create space to share stories with each other, you know, that's truly how our society gets healed as a whole.
You bet.
Yeah.
So where can people find out more about you?
Yeah, so I'll give my phone number. Please feel free. I'm always available to answer questions. If anyone's interested in coming down and, like, seeing New Directions, I'm happy to schedule a tour. My number is 714-330-2318.
Okay.
And then our main number at New Directions, so you can always call New Directions directly, is 800-939-6636.
Okay, perfect.
Yep.
Fantastic.
And we have lots of opportunities to get involved, both volunteer. We're always looking for donations because we do scholarship. That was the other piece. We, since we are a nonprofit, we do provide scholarships primarily for our women with children and our pregnant women.
That's
because
great.
That's where the need is.
Okay.
And so there's lots of ways people can get involved. And, you know, even if it's just to get some, you know, education about a woman's experience from addiction into recovery, like we feel is also our mission.
Yes. And you mentioned donations.
Yes.
Monetary and otherwise?
Monetary, otherwise. We take, you know, diapers and wipes because we do get a lot of newborns, clothes. So that event that you were talking about at the beginning was a co-branded event with Athleta and Ekam Yoga, where they brought donations of yoga pants because
yes.
we offer yoga at New Directions to our clients. And a lot of the women coming in literally have nothing. They're coming from the street. They don't own a single thing. And so to be able to give them some yoga pants, you know, to make them feel good about themselves while they're doing yoga is such a powerful tool.
It's so beautiful.
Yeah, we take all sorts of donations.
I love that. Lexi, yeah. I want to thank you so much for calling in. Please stay in touch. And if there's any updates you want me to add to the show blog or anything, any events, I'm more than happy to support.
Wonderful. I'll also, we do have an Amazon wish list, so I'll add that. We could add that in there, too.
I would love that.
Thank
yes.
you so much.
If you could email me all the phone numbers you mentioned, your wish list,
beautiful.
Anything you want me to add, I'd love it.
Okay, perfect.
Okay.
Well, thank you so much for allowing me to come on. It's been wonderful talking to you.
Absolutely. All right. Be well.
Okay.
Thank you.
Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
What a powerful conversation with Lexi Larrison, Director of Business Development at New Directions for Women. And she has spent years helping women reclaim their lives. And they have really impactful programs helping women become sober, rebuilding their identity, belonging, and resilience. If you want more information, here's the website, newdirectionsforwomen.org. As she said, there are volunteer opportunities. There are ways you can donate if it's not, you know, monetary. It could be things like baby supplies and things like that. I will update the show blog, getthefunkoutshow.kuci.org, with the phone numbers that Lexi mentioned and the Amazon wish list and other ways you can get involved. If you missed any part of my conversation with Lexi, it will be up as a podcast within an hour after I wrap. Again, the show blog, getthefunkoutshow.kuci.org. And if you want to find out more about KUCI, you can visit our website at kuci.org or our socials at KUCI FM. If you're listening to the show and thinking, ooh, I know a great guest, or I'd like to pitch myself, I'm always accepting pitches, as long as you don't sound like an infomercial. That's perfect. So you would just send an email to Janine, J-A-N-E-A-N-E, that's J-A-N-E-A-N-E, at KUCI.org. I want to mention a really cool exhibit before we go to break. The UCI Langston Orange County Museum of Art announced a dual exhibition exploring California's landscape, infrastructure, and identity at its Irvine location. And if you visit my show blog, getthefunkoutshow.kuci.org, you're going to see a picture of a van, and it says Art Show Here. And a former student created an art exhibit out of his van. So coming up April 18th, that's a Saturday from 10 to 4 p.m., right on the UCI campus, starting Monday the 13th, they are going to celebrate an incredible experience called Class See, a pop-up gallery created by Ruben Ochoa, who transformed his family's Chevy van into a mobile studio, and it's an exhibition space while he was a student right here at UCI. It will be parked at the Irvine Barclay Theater Plaza, located at 4242 Campus Drive, and it's an opportunity to encounter art right outside the traditional gallery setting. Class C is part of Breakdown Breakthrough Art and Infrastructure on view through May 9th at the museum's Irvine location, which is 18881 Von Karman, right in Irvine. The address is on the show page. And together, these presentations are exploring how artists have actually engaged the built environment in everyday life in Southern California. It's a really cool exhibit. This is brought to you by your friends at UC Irvine Langston Orange County Museum of Art. Again, this is coming up April 18th at 2 p.m. with artist Ruben Ochoa. There will also be an artist talk with Ruben, and his work has been featured at other locations as well. All the details are on the show blog. I'll be doing an interview coming up, hopefully, with some people from UC Irvine's Langston Orange County Museum of Art. We're going to take a little break, and then we will be back. You are listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine.